Hi, this is Ben Trefney, news director at KALW. We're in a membership drive right now. You can support what we do. More than 70% of our funding comes from listeners like you. Please go to donate at kalw.org, click it, and keep these stories coming. Thank you.
KALW.
Earlier this month, a federal judge in Colorado made a ruling that could have implications in California. Judge Richard Matsch declared Colorado's sex offender registry unconstitutional. He wrote that making information about sex offenders accessible to the public was cruel and unusual punishment. That means addresses, ages, and photos. Now, a controversial effort to reform California's system is currently making its way through the state legislature. But some law enforcement groups and victims' rights advocates say sex offenders are incurably unstable and need to be watched. So, does having a public list of sex offenders prevent sexual violence, or is it an unnecessary lifetime punishment? KALW's Holly J. McDeed has the story behind the fears and realities shaping the state's response to sex crimes.
Fred Russ is the kind of guy you want to root for when you meet him. He just got married. Collages by his two-year-old nephew fill his kitchen wall. He's applying for his pilot's license.
I guess it's like when you get when you first get your driver's license and you're first allowed to kind of venture out into the world and go explore.
Concord Tower, Experimental 78 Hotel Romeo, ready for takeoff on 3-2 left, like a left cross with the park.
He shows off a video of his first solo flight while his trainer kids around to loosen him up.
He's making jokes and funny faces, and I'm sweating bullets.
We're not using his real name to protect his identity, because if you Googled him, you'd learn that Ross is a sex offender. You'd also find his home address, photo, and the crime he pleaded guilty to. His home has been vandalized, and he says it's because of his past, and the information in the sex offender registry. When Ross was 19, he pled guilty to child molestation. He was homeless. He was doing a lot of drugs. And one night, after some hard partying, he wandered back into his mother's house.
My stepsister and her friend were there, and I felt up my stepsister's friend. And, she was actually sleeping, and so she, like, kind of came to, and she was like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, I don't know. You know, what am I doing, really? That's when I kind of snapped out of it.
The victim was under 14 years old. Her parents called the cops. Ross spent about a year in jail. He says he never intended to hurt anyone.
I mean, hopefully she was able to get through it and, you know, have a decent life. I had a lot of stuff going on. I was pretty emotionally disturbed. You know, I was dealing with being homeless and, you know, just having a lot of problems in life.
More than a decade later, when he finally sought out drug treatment, he was rejected from rehab programs because he's a registered sex offender.
I was devastated. I was like, "You can't take me because I'm on the registry?" I'm like, "But that has nothing to do with what's going on here."
Ross got sober on his own, turned his life around. But every year, cops still show up at his home for checkups. People in his Contra Costa County neighborhood talk. He committed his crime 21 years ago, but he feels like he's being penalized to this day.
They say it's not punishment, but it's in my eyes, it is punishment.
The sex offender registry is designed to inform Ross's neighbors of his presence and his past, and to keep tabs on offenders who are considered dangerous to society. But there are side effects, and they can be dangerous too. Alcoholics and drug addicts can't get treatment. Sex offenders face discrimination when it comes to finding work or housing. And some argue that being on a registry for life is cruel and unusual punishment. So now there are efforts to reform sex registry laws while still keeping children safe from predators. The question is how? California's sex offender registry has been around for 70 years, but law enforcement agencies started publishing sex registries nationwide in 1996. This was after a spate of high-profile child abduction cases changed the way parents watched over their kids. Six-year-old Eden Patz in New York City, six-year-old Adam Walsh in South Florida, seven-year-old Megan Kanka in New Jersey, 12-year-old Polly Klass in Petaluma.
Well, the guy that murdered Polly was a recidivist violent offender. I mean, he had committed
sex-centric crimes against women over the course of his entire criminal history.
Mark Klaus eagerly joined the campaign to make the sex offender registry public months after his daughter Polly was kidnapped, raped, and killed in 1993.
And we were in a position where people didn't feel safe on their streets. And what happened to Polly made people feel unsafe even in their own homes. And there was a reaction to that.
Back then, it was almost impossible for anyone to know if neighbors or coaches, pastors, or babysitters were convicted sex offenders. So Klaus campaigned for Megan's Law, which made information about sex offenders public.
Then we were fighting a fight that had never been fought before, and it was a fight to give people access to information that they could use to protect their families.
So when law enforcement groups like the California Police Chiefs Association and the Association of Deputy District Attorneys pushed for sex registry reforms in the state legislature, Klaus was shocked. It felt like the systems he helped build to protect children were unraveling, the pendulum swinging against his life's work.
And all of a sudden, you know, people that were supposed to be punished for one way or another for long periods of time, all of a sudden, it's all done and well and done, and there are the victims left slack-jawed wondering, well, boy, they sure broke that promise to me, didn't they?
The changes currently before the state legislature would allow many convicted sex offenders to petition to get off the registry after 10 or 20 years. Some victims' advocacy groups, like the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, support these changes. Before she bought a home in Sacramento, Mary Jean, like a lot of moms, looked up her new neighborhood online to check for sex offenders.
I was always taught that, it's the stranger lurking in the park. You need to make sure stranger danger. And it's like, no, there was nobody near there. Okay, we're clear.
Megan's Law made Jean feel safe. That's not her real name, by the way. We're just using it to protect her and her daughter. But that sense of safety disappeared when her daughter said she had been sexually abused since she was 11 years old.
And I just sat there and I just looked at her. By who? And she sat there and she hesitated for a minute, not sure how she should respond, but by Dad. I hated him. I never hated somebody so much. I was seething with anger.
Jean felt betrayed by her husband, but also by Megan's Law. She began to doubt that knowing about registered sex offenders can help parents avoid danger. Most sex crimes are committed by someone the victim knows and trusts, people who aren't on the registry. One of the ways she coped was by trying to understand her husband's crime and what could have prevented it. Jean's daughter pushed her to forgive her husband.
I wish he would have been able to come and talk to me. I wish that there was a way that he could have gone to a professional and asked them for help. If the stranger danger wasn't true, and if the sex offender thing wasn't, what is true?
Jean coped by delving into the research and looking for some hope for her family. She talked to me a lot about studies and data and the kind of therapy her husband needs. According to the U.S. Justice Department, sex offenders have among the lowest recidivism rates of any offenders.
These type of individuals don't change.
Paul Kelly with the San Jose Police Officers Union says sex crimes are underreported. Nationwide, only 344 out of every 1,000 sexual assaults are reported to police. Kelly says people on the list are often grateful when police check-ins find child porn or evidence of wrongdoing.
We may get them on a case and they'd say, you know, I'm glad you arrested me. It's been getting worse. I can't help my thoughts. I had touched, three other boys before this one.
Kelly says changes to the registry would put children in harm's way.
I just didn't think, California had so much empathy for pedophiles. As a parent, do what you have to do, raise my taxes, do anything, but do what you have to do to stop the peddling of child porn and raping of children.
Under the current bill, people convicted of felony child molestation or having child pornography would remain lifetime registrants. people convicted of other misdemeanor sex crimes, like sexual battery, sexting with someone underage, or indecent exposure, could have a chance to get off the registry after 10 or 20 years. That doesn't sit well with Kelly.
And so when we see the lower level crimes like that, we think the first thing we think in our head, which we have to because, you know, that's our job, is what's next?
Good morning, my friend. Good to see you.
These men mingling in the state capitol cafeteria all committed sex crimes in the past. They show up in Sacramento because they believe they are proof that sex offenders can change.
Robert's from Orange County. Mark's from San Jose area.
They're members of a group called the Alliance for Constitutional Sex Offense Laws. Their lobbying efforts have had some ups and downs this legislative session. There was a bill that would have allowed about 90% of sex offenders on the registry to petition to get off of it. But it met an abrupt and bureaucratic end in the Assembly Appropriations Committee a couple weeks ago. Then a watered-down version got stuffed into another bill and reintroduced by Senator Scott Wiener of San Francisco. This latest bill could let about 30% of the state's sex offenders off the list.
We have to be optimistic. Scarlett O'Hara, tomorrow will be a better day.
There's a strange sort of camaraderie between these middle-aged men who share the experience of violating society's most basic moral code and living with the consequences. Frank Lindsay, who was convicted of lewd acts with a child nearly 40 years ago, introduces me around.
Jason just arrived, and he's got a powerful story because his daughter was kicked out of Girl Scouts because her dad's a registrant. Really? This is child abuse.
Lindsay was once attacked outside his house by a vigilante who found his address on the sex offender registry.
And he immediately raised the hammer as he moved towards me, saying, "I'm gonna f*** you up, you pervert." And there it was. Someone to mete out justice.
In reporting this story, I talked to a lot of sex offenders. Many are just trying to go about their lives. Some feel remorse, others don't. Mark Verba says he feels like a modern-day pariah.
Really, really sad about that.
I appreciate you coming.
Not so much for myself, but for everybody else who just continues to suffer needlessly.
To be clear, he's talking about the needless suffering of sex offenders, not victims. He also emailed me a 104-page document entitled My Story that explained why the 12-year-old victim who testified against him was a liar, because he couldn't remember exactly how many times he had been molested. Then there's others whose remorse is convincing. Frank Lindsay no longer considers himself a sex offender. It's what he did, he says, not who he is.
I pray every day for the young lady that I had cross the line with, because this can be something that is carried for a very long time. So I'll carry on doing my best to demonstrate that I too can heal and be whole.
Sex crimes are horrible. It's hard not to be disgusted and scared when you think about what some of these men did. If they live with lifelong stigma, imagine how victims feel. We can judge those on the registry, size up their stories, try to understand the severity of their original crime, and guess how sincere and repentant they are. The bill asks the state government to judge them on our behalf, to decide what kind of criminals should eventually be allowed off the registry and when, and who needs to be monitored for life. The bill still needs to be approved by the Assembly, then by Governor Jerry Brown. If it passes, the changes will go into effect in 2021. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly J. McDeed.